Let me make sure. Nothing else. Karen, I see you. Madison is home. And she's gotten a lot of return to her paralysis. Almost stroke-like symptoms that are resolving. Yes, Tegan. Is that you? Okay. Still having trouble moving her hand, but she's feeling better. Being home is a wonderful gift again, right? The hospital's no place to stay. And your dad, Karen, got a lot going on right now. Dad needs some prayer. Just some of his overall health is failing, is how I could summarize it, right, Karen? Okay. And I know some of you have things going on too. Let's just pray specifically for that a minute before we go into the message. That's fitting, right? Let's pray for Karen, for Madison, for the girls, who are just a delight to see every Sunday, and for her dad. Lord God, thank you that we can come together and just be able to walk with each other through the things of life, to be able to share burdens, to be able to, like the Lord's Prayer says, we can do all of these things together, and thank you for that gift. Lord, thank you for the blessing today of just being able to gather. And as we gather, we pray in a unified voice today. You say where two and three are gathered, you're there, that you hear all of our prayers. And I think, Lord, in unison today as a group, we pray for Karen. Just give her strength. Give her everything she needs at this time of extreme busyness. Lord, be with the girls, each one of them. Hazley, Tegan, Lexi, as their mom recovers. And I pray, Lord, that Madison would recover. Just continue this progress that's happening. Thank you for the answer to that, of moving in that direction. And we also pray, Lord, for Karen's dad. We know not your plans for each one of us, much less what you have in store for Karen's dad. Lord, I pray that you would bring about your perfect will in him, that it would be done, and that, Lord, you would walk with him in these days, maybe his last, maybe. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right. We've been talking about freedom in Christ and how to cultivate it. How is it that God's will can become our will, that the two of them together, because we do have a will, but that our will would be operating out of our true self, which is our self in Christ? How can those two things come together in such a way that our lives reflect God's glory, which, by the way, is what we've been created for, why Jesus came to redeem it, and what the Holy Spirit is actively doing in our life right at this moment and into the future? So we talked about embracing God's grace and power. Then we talked about, last week, forgiveness. No easy thing, forgiveness. We looked at that. We described it. We talked about it. But yet that those of us who have experienced God's forgiveness for many, 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 many things, many times over and over, sins wiped away in Jesus' name, that the call on our lives is to forgive as God forgave us. A couple words about forgiveness before we jump into another way that we can experience freedom, and that is, I'm going to talk about examine. Particularly, I know you're like, wait a minute, I don't want an exam, right? We'll talk about it. It's a really good thing. And we'll try it on a little bit even in this time we have. I talked last week about a South African named Pumla who had to forgive, did forgive the commander of a state-sanctioned apartheid death squad. I mean, these things were alive and well in the history of the country. Things actively happening to him and his family. It's a profound story, these kind of things. And he believed with all his heart that forgiveness is less a matter of understanding than of a more profound motion of the heart. And he says, it's a transcendence. And I think I have a taste of understanding of what that is. Because forgiveness, true forgiveness from the heart, especially when you've been wronged, all right, and I'll say some other things about it, all right, in another story here to illustrate this, because this is not easy stuff. And it doesn't mean certain things. To forgive doesn't mean some things, but the call to forgive is there. How do we do that? Well, I think it's born out of the transcendence, something divine. It's of God that happens. Forgiveness is born out of amazing grace. We talked about that. Robert Mulholland writes, our bitterness, our resentment, the desire for revenge and payback, and I'd say, you know, not just getting even, but getting ahead, that's kind of how we function, forms in us shapes of unforgiveness. It chokes off our openness to God. It clogs up our receptors of God's grace. It renders us incapable of receiving God's forgiveness and further fueling a self-reference life. Now, that's a mouthful, but I'm going to unpack more of this because I told you last week, I read like 3 books in succession. I just couldn't put them down. And man, good stuff. A self-reference life. We are encouraged by our world to completely live a self-referenced life in everything. There's a better way, actually. To say unconditional forgiveness is difficult is an understatement of colossal proportions. That phrase came up last week. From a human standpoint, it is impossible, okay? I know you think, well, there can be some sort of human level of forgiving, or someone who doesn't even know God or the transcendence of God's love can forgive. I understand that, but the principle of forgiveness comes from, whether you believe or not, it comes from God. He's the author. He's the source of it. He's the one who gives the strength to do it. There's a fairly well-known story of a person named Corrie Ten Boom. Corrie and her family had been sent to concentration camps because of their assistance to the Jewish people in World War II. I've mentioned her before, but that's just because some of that sort of is, you know, ingrained in us from a young age, at least my sort of tradition. Everybody has their own tradition. This somehow is attached to mine. It's got some Dutchness to it. Corrie and her family had been sent to concentration camps after the war. God sent Corrie to tell the German people of God's love and forgiveness. Think about that first. She sensed God's call to go to the German people, and we're talking about, you know, an amazing act in itself. Her family, her relatives, her friends, the entire life of hers and those around her were completely upended. That's what war does. I mean, what people are going through in Ukraine, we have no idea. Destroyed, lives upended, seeing loved ones die. She had just spoken to a group of people who of God's love and forgiveness in a church in Munich and was greeting people as they left. When she saw coming toward her one of the cruelest of the guards at Ravensbrück. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, how is that person even walking about freely, right? There he was. This place was where she and her sister, Betsy, had been imprisoned. And Corrie writes, now he was in front of me, hand thrust out. A fine message, Fräulein. How good it is to know that, as you say, all our sins are at the bottom of the sea. And she writes, my blood seemed to freeze. She remembered vividly. She hadn't forgotten her experience and death of her sister Betsy. The former guard told Corey that he'd become a Christian since the war, and that while God had forgiven him of his cruelty, he wanted her to forgive him. This is what Corey writes. I stood there, I whose sins had again and again been forgiven by God, and I could not forgive. She couldn't forgive. Betsy had died in that place. Could he erase her slow, terrible death simply for asking? She found herself incapable of feeling any forgiveness at all for this man. Listen to her experience next. It could not have been many seconds that he stood there, hand held out, but to me it seemed hours as I wrestled with the most difficult thing I ever had to do. And remember, difficult is an understatement of colossal proportions. And still I stood there with the coldness clutching my heart. I said, Jesus, help me. In my mind and in my spirit, I prayed silently. I can lift my hand. I can do that much. You, God, supply the feeling. You give me what I need, was her prayer. And so woodenly, okay, this isn't like an embrace. Mechanically, she thrusts her hand out to the one outstretched to her. And as she did, this incredible thing took place for her. The current, she describes, started in her shoulder, raced down her arm, sprang into our joined hands. And then this healing warmth seemed to flood my whole being, bringing tears to my eyes. I forgive you, brother, I cried with all my heart. And for a long moment, we grasped each other's hands, the former guard and the former prisoner. I had never known God's love so intensely as I did then. Difficult of colossal proportions. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying you can't pursue justice when wronged. Can't say that you need to then become best friends. Can't always say too, like, what about when the offending party has no remorse? It seems to me, from all I've read and what I see in Scripture, is that God calls us to forgive. So it is God's forgiveness of grace and power at work. Grace and power. Forgiving as the Lord forgave us, an impossible task for human beings like us, but not impossible for God. In fact, God made the way for it. Made the way. So what I want to do today is move from that to another way that God can bring freedom in our life, and that is examine. Okay? Now I know anybody in school, right? You're like, there's an exam? Am I prepared? When's it due? I can't wait till I graduate so I don't have to take another exam in my life. Or you have this feeling of examine, like any kind of notion of even doctors, right? Like having to go in. I don't know about you, but I do. I tend to not go in unless something's really wrong, right? I just don't go. Now I'm starting 55, my yearly checkup. That's good. That's good, Mark. Improvement. But I sit there, and I do kind of sweat. Examine. How does that sound to you? Do you know who Saint Ignatius of Loyola is? Have you heard that? Heard that term? He's coined this in some ways. He developed into it more of a spiritual discipline practice. But I'm going to combine a bunch of ideas about examine to try and put it into something measurable for us today, okay? And encounter a way to be able to go into a deeper relationship with God. Now, I'm going to focus on examine, but look at this book, Spiritual Discipline Handbook. Do you know how many there are? See all those? This is just one. One way you can engage God in a deeper relationship. One that you can experience freedom in Christ, okay? So let me define it a little bit. Examine is the practice of examining one's daily life by reflecting on the not God things that happen during the day and reflecting on the yes God things that happen in the day. That's easy to remember, right? It's providing an intentional time, an intentional space in your day. Now you're going, you got to be kidding me. What would be the barriers, and just tell me a few, to why doing something like that might be difficult? Anybody? Carving about a space and a time every day to go through and reflect on not God or yes God. What is it? Just tell me. What's that? Tired. Absolutely. I really don't have the energy for it. What else? Too much work. It's just busy. And I'll say full. You have a full life. And it ebbs and flows. Some seasons in life are more than others. But cultivating something like this is difficult. Anything else? Anybody else? Does it really matter? Yeah, sure. Like, why would I spend time doing that, right? Move on. Any others? It's good. Yeah. Yeah. I like that. If I could summarize that, you know, the people online and stuff, we're just so easily distracted. And the minute you sit and be quiet and just try to listen to God, what happens? There's like a million voices that come in. I mean, one thing I've tried is I actually have a page of paper next to me whenever engaging in something like this, if I sit down with some intentionality that way, right? Because as things come to my mind, I just got to, okay, shh, as a sign of maybe that being, okay, pushed aside in order to focus, okay? All those reasons are really good reasons. They're barriers, right, as to why this can or can't happen. So the practice of just reflecting on not God things into which the roots of our identity, this is key, our meaning in life, our value and our purpose have sunk into, okay? It's reflecting on those not God things. And then the yes God things, right, are the good things, the God things into which we've risen into in that day to bring them to awareness, to quiet ourselves enough, right, to be able to hear. If you haven't caught the theme in the last few weeks, right, it's a lot about freedom and slavery, right? Freedom and slavery, like, who knows the text of the quarter? I said I might ask this. Oh, Sid, you were like ready. Shall we give Sid today? No. Go ahead and kind of do it. That's all right. Paraphrase is fine. Eugene Peterson did it. Everybody likes that. It is for? You got it. And then what?
Stand firm then. And do not be enslaved again.
Yep. You shortened it and said exactly what it says. Thank you. I thank you for your bravery and courage. You know what it says, right? It's for freedom that Christ set you free. Stand firm then. Don't let yourself be burdened, think of weighed down, by a yoke of slavery. I always do what you do. I'm like, it's just, don't be enslaved, because that's what, it seems like a repetition, right? Don't be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Examine forgiveness, embracing God's grace and power in our lives. What these things do is they bring about freedom. But even being in Christ sometimes in life, there are things that we can do, things that we can ignore, things that we don't reflect on, things we don't confess, things we don't embrace of God in our daily walk. And I'll tell you what, we're lazy, we don't get to our schedules before anybody else, our lives are too full. Now this isn't the blame, these are just real reasons, right? We're distracted, the list goes, does it even matter? Do you see? Though, but walking in sort of that kind of a casual sort of non-investment, right, in seeking God's face in things and in that kind of relationship of reflecting and examination leads to a form of being weighed down. Don't let yourselves be weighed down again. So, detaching and centering is some of the language that's there. Detaching and centering. Simply nurturing trust that is attached to God alone. It's a quieting of the heart and mind, a resting in God alone. When do we ever do that? You know, it's like we had some quiet time just today in the service. To take time for that is so uncharacteristic, right? It may not feel good, but then the flip side is it feels kind of good to stop. What examine is just a daily engagement with this. So, remember the story in the Gospel of John near the end where Jesus in resurrection body appears to Peter and the disciples. They're out fishing. They were out all night, right? Night fishing, so they're going for a certain kind of fish in the Sea of Galilee, right? But they caught nothing. Cast it on the other side. And they do it, and they get this, like, such a huge catch of fish, right? That they can't even bring it in. Peter recognizes it's Jesus, right? Now, the last interaction with Jesus was what? Potentially, right? See, we don't know the timing of all these things between the Gospels, right? But what do you think Peter is dealing with? He's dealing with a lot of shame, a lot of guilt. He just denied Jesus 3 times, and he absolutely emphatically said he wouldn't. What do you think Peter's identity is? You see, what are the things that Peter has sunk into as to who he is before God? And then Jesus comes. I don't know if you've ever seen it in this kind of light, but when I read it in this way, I thought, wow, that's rich, very rich. He says, Peter, do you love me more than these? Now, if you read the Greek, koine, these is very ambiguous. It's hard to know what he's exactly talking about. In some ways, that's beneficial for what I want to say today, because he says, do you love me more than these? These things. These not God things. That we have our identity wrapped up in, our worth, our value. And then he says it again. He says, yeah, but do you love me more than these? And even the repetition is saying, Peter, I love you. I love you. I love you. Examine. It's almost like Jesus pulling Peter aside and saying, do you love me more than these? To simply say, in our day, at some point, a lot of people who practice this do it towards the end of the day. Now again, what's the problem doing it at the end of the day? If you're like me, I hit the pillow, and even if Dion starts talking, I just am like, I'm gone. So I've got to do something like that beforehand, right? You can't almost do it when we're sitting there in bed ready to go to sleep. Just can't do it. It doesn't work. What happened in my day that was not God? Can you think about yesterday? I drove all over the place. Dion actually got a, Friday we got a ticket for Dion to go out of town yesterday. It was a disaster as far as the airport. She was supposed to take off at 5-something, didn't get too late, whatever. But meanwhile, we're driving all over. She had training in the morning, but then she's going to help take care of Ellie, the baby, Reed, for a week because they both got COVID, Ellie pretty bad. My mind is everywhere. I could tell I was stressed yesterday. I sit down and just reflect on my day and say, Lord, where are the not God things? Oh, yeah. What about the driver who cut me off? and my reaction to that? What about the next driver who tailed me and wouldn't get off me? My reaction. What about my thoughts? You see how this works. The beauty of this is that Jesus can say, I love you. Your identity, right? You can confess those things. You can take up and rise into the identity that God wants for you, rather than engaging in the things that want to weigh you down and burden you. Now, that's just a simple thing. I could have picked a lot of things, right? And you can too. But it takes a little practice to become aware of those things. Aware of those things. Psalm 131. That was something from Do You Love Me More Than These? This was the read through the Bible text, if some of you are doing that, and I know a bunch of you are. Psalm 131, I don't think it's the shortest psalm, but it's very short. I mentioned it last week. I want to mention it again because to me, this is Do You Love Me More Than These? This is examine. The psalmist writes, My heart is not proud, O Lord. My eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me. But I have calmed and quieted myself. I am like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child, I am content. I put my hope in the Lord now and forevermore. Now think about that text in terms of examine. The things that are not God, the things that are yes God. The posture. I actually can't think of myself, maybe you can, of a better image, right, than the image of, I'm getting way too hot. I'll never make it to amen. So sorry. All right. It was warm in here. The imagery of a nursing mother. Have you ever experienced that when a child is done, you burp, right? You do those things, and then they just lay on you. It's like the ultimate safety, the ultimate contentment. Lord, just as this is true between mother and child in this relationship, right? Or any one of us who picks up a child after they've been nursed. It's like a beautiful moment. That's how it is with God. I love you this much, God says. Do you love me more than these, right? It's an invitation to a relationship. So I have the image of an open hand today to talk about examine. Listening, simple prayers of reflection. So, what time we got? Lord, let not my heart be proud, nor my eyes haughty. Lord, examine me today, examine my heart. Take my not God pride and self-focus that often is on display. Let me not go after things too great for me. Set my heart and soul in silence and peace like a weaned child at a mother's breast. Lord, help me center on you. So what I'd like to do is I'm just looking at some things. I'm going to jump to hear. And then we're going to end today with the Lord's Prayer, okay? But I want to give you a couple simple ways how, all right? I think I've described it in different ways. I want to give you how. The first thing is to find space and time. Get to your schedule before everyone else does. Don't make too big of goals for this. Carve out 10 minutes, okay? 10 minutes. And then the second thing is to first listen. Be conscious of your desire, like what's welling up in you? What is it that you desire from God in the time that you're there, in that space? I would say maybe read a text. And I'm just going to give you one. Say you read this to center yourself. Colossians 1 verse 9. For this reason, since the day I heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. Something to center you. And then simply ask two questions. I'm going to give you these two questions in a lot of different ways, but you can write down the idea in your mind or on paper of what you would ask. What moment today was I most grateful? What moment today was I least grateful? When did I give and receive the most love today? When did I give and receive the least love? What is the most life-giving part of my day? The most life-thwarting part of my day? These aren't hard. When did I have my deepest connection or sense of God, with God, and the least? Where was I aware of living out the fruit of the Spirit, and where was it absent? You know, I can send these to you too this week. Where did I experience desolation, and where did I find consolation? And then you just listen to the data of your life. You pay attention to your mental state, your body responses, your emotional baggage that comes to the surface, and then you simply lean deeply into God. Examine is an algorithm of a deeper relationship with God, and it is a way to freedom. There's all kinds of ways to do that with spiritual disciplines, but I find that this one is pretty accessible, pretty accessible. So, I'd like to do it with you a minute to close, okay, today, to sort of do a little bit of examine together. And I'm going to do it with talking about or talking through the Lord's Prayer, so join me. Let's just have a time of silence first, just quiet. We invite God to meet with us. Our Father in heaven, Lord, the relationship of connection. Our Father in heaven, just affirming the values, the love that comes through a connection to the divine. Thank you, God, for this relationship. In heaven, it is out of this world. It's transcendent and from above. And Lord, we pray that you would bring heaven to earth. Holy is your name. Holy is your name. Your kingdom come and your will be done. Lord, you call us to be holy as you are holy. Lord, there are things that were not of you today. Help me recall those. And Lord, I bring them before you. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Ah, your purposes, your will. Less of myself. Your control by your Spirit. Give us today our daily bread. Give us our daily bread. Lord, thank you for the plurality of a family of faith where we can care for one another in community. Lord, you know my tendency to want to generate everything I need out of my own effort, even prideful about it. Lord, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lord, help. Bring your power that may be even mechanical and wooden. You can work through the faithfulness to forgive. Thank you, God, for the plurality of forgiveness. Forgive us as we forgive those who sin against us. And we're not alone. Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. You lead us. You deliver us. Lord, keep me from negativity. Keep me from discouragement. Lead me and deliver me. Lord, thank you for the gift of this day already. As we walk into the next thing, whoever we meet, whatever it is that we do, what we say, may it be in your grace and power. Lord, grow us from a place of status quo and status woe to a place of status grow, however you would do it. Lord, to you be the kingdom both now and forever. Amen. So with examine, there's freedom to be able to go where the Spirit opens things up, to focus on the not God things and bring them to God, or to focus on the yes God things that rise up. God loves this kind of communication. He loves it. So if you're an optimist, examine will help you name the difficult things in your life as you meet with God. And if you're more melancholy, just in the way you live, examine will help you recognize life-giving moments in your life. So, do you love God more than these? I think what I'll do this week is send out some of those questions and just sort of the basicness of examine. You certainly can search it these days and find out all kinds of things, but I'll send something manageable and simple that you could try and enter into, start to cultivate, okay? All right. Amen. That was a prayer at the end, so let's stand and we'll conclude with our final song today.